looking to come in, and that's a subset as well, what's important to them, and it's something maybe we need to look at. But what this all came back to me, and the thing that jumped out on this article, was the theme of a two-tier tax system. And that Florida has this two-tier tax system, and if you're an out-of-stater or you're a business, you're not welcome in Florida. You know, you're a homesteader, you're fine. And that's, I think that's going to pick up. I mean, I think that talk is, you're already hearing, you've seen these articles outside of Florida. There's a lot of chatter, and in the business community outside of Florida, there's a lot of chatter on that also. And with all respect to the legislature, what is on the ballot does not fix the two-tier tax system. And
it's not on there anymore.
It's not on there. And so, you know, the two-tier tax system, even if that gets back on the ballot, is still going to be there for second homes. It's still going to be there for businesses. It's still going to be there for snowbirds and for splitters. And what's worse is if it passes, say it gets on the ballot, it passes, you've got a super exemption now. And the difference for this big old super exemption for homesteaders is going to be picked up by somebody. It's mm-hmm. going to be picked up by the same people who are impacted by the two-tier tax system. Snowbirds, businesses, second homes. And it just seems that what this really jarred me loose was the role of this, not only the broader commission, but this committee to look at this in two ways. One would be really doing a data analysis, I think, on what the cost, are they right? You know, is this article right? I mean, are the costs in Florida higher than the cost in, say, our neighboring southern states? There are competition. And if there was a way to look at that, to say if you were a migrant or a retiree looking to come to Florida, and that's what everybody wants, you know, in the South, that's what North Carolina is trying to get, and Georgia, you know, are the costs, what is the cost comparison? It's what you did for the business taxation up there, but can we do that for what would be the relevant taxes and costs on a migrant or retiree?
Right. And that's what Senator McKay was alluding to a while ago. What is the total tax when you figure in all the income taxes and so on? Other southern states have the total tax burden on the citizens.
Hey, Mr. Chairman, if I may follow up on Brian saying, I'm from the conservative part of the city, as everyone knows, the panhandle. Tremendous has come out, and 3 weeks ago there's a big giant meeting at the local auditorium, packed with people. First thing our county commissioner says is, you know, the trim notices went out, we got them all a couple weeks ago, and everybody had a cardiac arrest. Well, he was wrong. You know, if you were homesteaded, you were happy. You saw the trim notice, yep, just like last year, and you put, maybe it was
rolled over here 3%.
You know, maybe it was lower. And you're absolutely right. Now at that meeting that night, there were no homesteaders there.
Yeah.
There were snowbirds there. There were folks from Georgia and Alabama who were trying to represent, get their thoughts heard, and there were small business people there.
Voters.
And I think this commission, I'm not sure, as I see the monumental task the legislature has, because you have a House and Senate that I think are a bit far away in their thoughts, and a DNR split as well. Every day I look around, I think this commission is going to, I think we're going to have to come up with some solutions.
I think you're absolutely right, and I'm going to, in just one moment, Brian's got his presentation, which is very, but you know, it's bold action here. I mean, if they don't do anything, and if we don't do anything, and if they come, and it's just going to just get worse and worse. And I really think the idea, that's why I really like the fact that he's got this. I was trying to find that in the airport Monday, and I couldn't find the article to read it. But I'm going to let Brian continue. I just think it's critical that we at least have out there the chance to do something really that would, it's be a strong statement against this type of publicity for Florida.
I understand the legislature and the dynamics of the politics that go into this. We're not bound by the politics of this. So we can look at this soberly, and we can look at it, we can step back further than the legislature and say, what's right for the state? You know, let's take the global picture And it's not about appealing to a particular group or making voters happy. For us, it's what's really going to benefit the state economy at the end of the day, so we don't get lapped by Georgia or North Carolina while we're dozing.
Mr. Chairman, you know, to come up with a real thought-out proposal is going to take more than just a couple of meetings.
I know.
And I think the reluctance of this group, Mr. Chairman, and you to be commended for it, is not to try to rain on the parade. If the legislature had an item on the ballot in January, it's no longer there. I don't know if we've had any communication with them or not. But since it's not there, does that kind of give us an opening to start working on something in earnest that would be a solution? For instance, I think we need to be looking at a fractional assessment that applies this across the board. Unfortunately, Kenny, I don't think I could support any portability because I think that just makes it worse. But I think we need to be looking at how do we give relief to the people who need it.
We're going to debate that at some point because I don't agree necessarily.
You will let me.
Yeah. But meanwhile, let's let Brian. I'm just
wrapping up. I mean, and these aren't for discussion today, but the idea is to think exactly on the handful of policy proposals that we can debate that might be a save our homes for non-homesteads and businesses, an extension of that, might be a non-homestead or business exemption, you know, some level of exemption, might be a true rollback to a date that the legislature was looking at originally but then sort of walked away from, with a true cap. Because I think one of the problems right now is you got a cap that really... down south where they just voted away, and nobody knows they're voted away.
40% of the state has done that.
There are many ways.
Not that they should or shouldn't, I'm just making that point.
There are a lot of ways to do this, but I think getting the data would be helpful to making the case because we sort of have to make the case for the people and then coming up with the policy proposals.
Well, we had asked previously, discussed in this committee a month or two ago, this specific subject on the idea of across the board rolling back the assessment and getting the statistics on it. And I would just throw in that what was mentioned earlier in Bob Neighbor's presentation, that we need to make sure we have a legal check out in the event, and it's still just an option, no one's saying what we're going to do, that any legalities regarding bond issues, I don't think there are, but, you know, like he was discussing, I think they take what they can get, basically, or what's available. But... all right, I'm sorry.
I took too much time.
No, you didn't then, because this is another statement of the severe nature of this that we at least should have on the table some serious, and if it involves, I've said this before, some replacement and discussion or whatever, that's what's going to happen. I mean, that's what's going to have to be discussed, perhaps. But we really, I'm so glad that you brought this and that brought this up because I think it's critical. Patricia?
Mr. Chairman, what will be helpful for me and is to see different scenarios to be able to physically see what the different impacts are. Because that, you know, Brian gave some great ideas. We had some people speak last night and they gave suggestions about taking out RLE in the school districts and in looking at some numbers for that. And if you take out required local effort from public schools, it's a 40% on average decrease for every taxpayer if you do it for homestead and non-homestead. And replacing that with a 2.5 cent or 2.3 cent sales tax, I just want to see what the impacts are and hear from the folks on what's good and bad about each scenario. Because in that particular, you know, issue, it doesn't face the challenges that occurred with Speaker Rubio's initial plan on how do you get the sales tax money back down to the counties, because you have a funding formula to send the money back down. But I would like to see the different scenarios, and it would better help me.
Okay, so we previously discussed like a rolling back a fractional assessment, whatever, and from 50% to some number above that we would cost that out. But the way that you, any of that will have effects on local government, but the money, the state money, will largely go back into education if there is a serious rollback. And if we're not going to talk something serious, it's almost like, Susan, do you want to comment?
Yes, just very quickly, Mr. Chair. We have begun from a staff level talking with the Economic and Demographic Research Office to start putting together some models. We didn't ever get an exact number of what model you all wanted to start with, so they asked me to give us some baseline models.
We'll get copies of
some of those numbers for the fractional assessment concept. And we're looking at the various impacts of that. I think that they would be willing or able to build in something like what Commissioner Lebeck is asking for, and we're moving ahead with that. If members have specific models they want us to have looked at, please get us the data points so we can work with the modeling group to do that. The assessment level is actually going to require a revenue estimating conference meeting, and they are willing to do that. It takes about a week to schedule, but they're in the process of looking towards doing something like that now. So,
in that respect, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Wilkins.
I'd like a true, honest fiscal analysis of what affordability would do to include increased dock stamps, increased sales tax, increased tax rolls, the way we've written it. And if you could set up a meeting or how that works, and please do that.
We'll do all that. We'll just need for you to tell us exactly what you want next.
Well, sitting down with numbers crunchers, I'd be more than happy to tell them.
But Susan, we had discussed having some sort of independent expert help on these issues rather than just totally being dependent on the legislature, you know, on
the bills are filed, as the bills are filed.
Yes, sir.
And then we do the equivalent of the staff analysis at that point in time to bring those folks in.
Yeah, yeah, but that's
what
I mean on these.
We have a baseline to start from, and that's
right.
You can't just say we think it might be a good idea, we have to plug some numbers so we have a baseline to begin, and that's what we've asked them to start building now.
Yeah, okay. Mr. Chairman, I've also asked Thomas to take the wording and write the TPP constitutional amendment.
Right.
For the $25,000. I'd just like to address one thing on the tax shifting that business and non-homesteads are always, you know, I understand that there's a shift of burden. I'm of the contention, and I've spreadsheet of the millages in Florida since 1980 to 2005. In my county, with the 92 different taxing authorities, the average millage in 1980 was 18.2 something. 2005 is 18.5 something. Statewide Department of Revenue numbers, the millage average in 80 was 19 something, is still 19 something plus in 05. The premise, the numbers, the real numbers, the problem is spending. Save Our Homes made it too easy to get the money, and I readily admit that we can change that by focusing on the spending side. You can have 1,000% assessments. If you don't have any budgets, you don't have any taxes.
Right.
They've been able to get away with the spending issues. The proof is they don't lower the millage. Tell the public they didn't raise taxes because they didn't raise the millage.
I think that.
So if what I'm saying, let me just say one statement. Yeah. What I'm saying, if Save Our Homes went away tomorrow, the businesses that pay property taxes will not be less. That was proved before Save Our Homes. It's been proved during Save Our Homes, and it would be proved after Save Our Homes is gone. The only difference is the Save Our Homes would be at the same rate as the others. They'd have that much more money to spend, and they would spend it.
Right. Okay. I think what we obviously have a multifaceted problem, but at this point, where these local governments have police, they got fire, they've spent a lot of the money, too much. I voted against the budget for the last several years. I was on the county commission down there for that reason. But to fix it now, I think the point that Patricia's making is there's to do something about property taxes across the board, there are other options because you can limit them. But right now, if half your tax bill is cities and counties, let's say, you cut them 20%. That's really only 10% of your total taxes. And you see what I mean? So I think that the issue becomes how do you fix it
together by taking education away, which is 40%.
Well, you're going to have to address a number of ways to do it. I'm sure this is not our last discussion of this, so our time has run out. Susan just gave me the cut signal over there.
I say something on this is Florida over on this article? Let's be very careful that we don't do a knee-jerk reaction to this article. when you take this article and you've had it analyzed, when they're dealing in percentages, you have to always keep in mind that Florida starts out with a base as far as retirees and all of that, that's so much higher than the rest of the country. So when you're talking about the increase, and you're talking about it in percentage rather than actual numbers, it seems like it's a lot less than it should be, and that other states will be garnishing a lot more than us. But when you do it with numbers, because our base is so high with the number of retirees, it our small percentage increase ends up being larger than their big increase number-wise. So let's be very careful that we don't do a knee-jerk reaction to this article here, and we actually look at the real numbers that they're talking about. Because again, the press seems to be a self-fulfilling prophecy in my industry. And you say it long enough, you say that the bubble's going to burst, and it does. You say that the prices are right. too high and you should offer lower, and they do.
So let me assure you, Commissioner, there's not any knee-jerk reaction. What the entire discussion here that Brian brought up was the fact that we have this out there from the press, and we need to figure out how to best address it on on behalf of the people of Florida and the business. You want to make any?
No, just last point. I mean, I understand that you can dispute the numbers, and it'd be great part of the data gathering is to say, look, the way they're presenting this is wrong. But let's be candid, that won't get out there to Georgia and Minnesota and the places where these people are coming from. What they hear is we have a two-tier tax system that penalizes folks, and we do. And so we need to fix it.
You might look at our research committee and what we've done. I mean, this is something that we deal in constantly with people moving in from out of state. And I assure you, they're still here. And I'm sure that the cities and counties have all been told to adjust their budgets because we've got 1,000 people come in. I don't know how many they've told you all are going to be coming in to plan and increase your budget in the next 5 years. So the cities and counties are adjusting for an increase. We know that there is. We know the boomers are retiring, and this is where they want to live. So again, let's look at the real numbers rather than the percentage and the alarming thing that's happening with the Wall Street Journal.
To be continued, obviously. Thank you all very much, members, and we're going to start our full meeting, I assume.
Where do we meet?
I think in here we're meeting.
Full meeting.
For the full meeting here, and then we have a public hearing about an hour later. The commission. The commission is meeting right here on the rules. Am I right?